Hello, my name is Anthony Patch, and this is another edition of Pulse. Today's Pulse is entitled, What Drives Donald Trump? It is the 24th of March of 2025. What drives President Donald Trump? What has driven him really all of his life? What motivates him? What kindles his desires, you might say? Well, in my humble opinion, it can be summed up in one word. Donald is driven by dominance. His desire to dominate, to establish dominance over his perceived opponents. I want to present this in a geopolitical arena, as opposed to domestic or even extremely personal. Yes, this is about Donald Trump, but he is the leader of the free world, at least according to how he is presented, how he is portrayed, and how he views himself. And we understand his viewpoint through his own statements, his own proclamations, his own bluster. Before I get into the psychological, as I examine Donald Trump, the meaning, the exhibition of dominance, the evidence of dominance, one thing that really needs to be understood about his personality as he presents it publicly is one of bluster. As Shakespeare often called it, much ado about nothing. You see, he provokes people. He wants to provoke a reaction from people. And it really doesn't matter if it's a positive reaction or a negative one, as people react to his words, to his bluster. He's stimulating a reaction in order to stimulate, you could say in a negative or a malevolent fashion, to stimulate thought on their part. Thinking tends to be in short supply around the world these days. Without going down that distracting line of discussion and thought, he wants people to think, but he wants people to react emotionally. Critical thinking is not really what he is after on the part of stimulating people through his bluster to think. It's to think and then react emotionally, because that emotional level is what he predominantly appeals to. And it really does not matter the audience that he's addressing. He's appealing to their emotions because he knows through emotions he can dominate. And that's where I want to focus today, is this psychological maneuvering, manipulation, and motivation to dominate others. Some might say what drives, what motivates Trump is his greed, his desire for profit, for financial gain. And certainly his track record, of course, in the world of real estate, so to speak, business in a more broadly applied sense, one could make a case that he's a greedy individual. And we would see plenty of evidence, both in his words, his actions, and his results. But I was struck a few weeks ago by something he said early on in his administration, in which he was bragging to the press that in Florida, one of his housing developments was just approved, the approval of 1,500 units to be built. And he was very flippant, very offhanded about saying this to the press, that he really didn't care. He was not in it for the money. And as in playing cards, in gambling, perhaps in Casino Royale, if you will. If you remember the James Bond movie, there was the focus upon the tell, the opponent's tell, the opponent's body English, reactions that would reveal the hand that they're holding. Donald Trump revealed his hand by saying to the press, "I really don't care about the money. I really don't care about the financial." This, of course, illustrates the level of wealth that he has attained to the point where money is really irrelevant to him. And it really becomes a tool for domination, more than something that feeds his ego, feeds his desire to acquire material wealth, as in mansions and automobiles and real estate in general and things like that. He's beyond that level of thinking. It is this desire to dominate, as I read Donald Trump. And this, again, is evidenced by those that he surrounds himself with in his present cabinet and his administration in general. Those that he has appointed, their number one criteria for selection by Donald Trump is loyalty. You see, the desire to dominate demands from subordinates that are dominated, the target of that domination, the number one requirement from those that are subordinate is loyalty. Loyalty to Donald Trump and to Donald Trump alone. This is not about patriotism. This is not about loyalty to the United States, to the people of the United States. This is about loyalty to Donald Trump. This has nothing to do with the left-right paradigm. It has really more to do with how he views himself on the global stage. And that's where I want to take you. I want to take you to BRICS. Before we get to BRICS, I want to take you to Israel. Much has been made, again, tip of the hat to Shakespeare, much has been made about the influence, the so-called Israeli, or more specifically, the Zionist lobby that influences both Donald Trump, his administration, and Congress in general. Now, I don't want to focus on Congress. I want to focus again on Donald Trump and his cabinet and his administration. This loyalty in the public arena, and there's a distinctive difference between the public arena of Donald Trump and this administration and behind the scenes arena. The public arena is the allowance of the left-right paradigm to point the finger, the accusations towards Donald Trump that he is unduly influenced and therefore unduly loyal to the nation state of Israel. And this, of course, brings us to the current discussion regarding Israel, the United States, and Iran, the threat of war with Iran. The primary focus, of course, is circulating around whether or not Iran is about to achieve the building, the acquisition, the use of, the threat of the use of a nuclear device or multiple nuclear devices against Israel. That's the public facing agenda item. When what really is taking place here goes back to the personality of Donald Trump. I often say in our live streams, if you want to know the truth in what they're saying, what they're printing, what they're texting, turn their statements, their words, 180 degrees around, and that will reveal the truth. It will reveal the agenda. So as we take the public-facing agenda, the accusations that Trump is unduly influenced by the Israeli lobby, and we turn that around, because Donald Trump, in seeking dominance on the global stage, that's his ultimate goal, is global dominance by himself over the entire global political, economic, and military venues of the world. He has allowed himself to be used by the Israeli lobby. He has allowed them to finance both his first and now his second term of office. This reaches back into his real estate dealings and his casinos and so forth. His allowing of himself to be used by the financiers. But now he is turning the tables 180 degrees on those very same individuals, those same financiers and the so-called Israeli lobby. It needs to be borne in mind, kept in mind, kept prominent, that when we discuss here at AnthonyPatch.com, when we discuss Israel, we're talking about the Zionist state, the Kabbalist state of Israel, not the people of Israel. Okay. Again, to stay on point, he has turned the financial support around. He is allowing Israel to appear to be dominating Donald Trump. That Donald Trump will launch a military attack in support of Israel and their military attack against Iran. The reason, the predominant reason that Israel seeks war with Iran is for territory. This is the Levant agenda. This is expanding Israel into the former boundaries of the Levant, the Promised Land, which includes portions of Iran. Understanding that, Donald Trump understands what is driving the Israeli lobby and their desire to dominate both the Congress and the presidency of the United States to achieve their Levant agenda. Donald Trump certainly understands that and has spoken and has acted in open support of this. But when what we understand the behind-the-scenes agenda to be with Donald Trump as an individual is his innate, perhaps even manic, desire to dominate the world. What I'm reaching at here in terms of a conclusion with regards to Israel and Iran is there will be no war against Iran. Donald Trump does not seek dominance through military means. He truly is driven by dominance through business. Yes, a lot of has been said about the art of the deal, that he is a deal maker, that that's what his primary driving mechanism is the art of the deal. And he has even espoused that in the open media, saying, what really drives me are deals, deal making. This is what he says he lives for, is deal making. Well, again, that's the public persona. It is dominance through business, through trade. Again, it is not financial motivation. It is not purely greed in the sense of financial greed. It's more a sense of position and dominance in getting his way. You see, greed is often associated, and rightly so, with the acquisition of wealth. As I said earlier, Donald Trump is beyond that. And I'm not saying that as something to be supported or to be a goal on the part of any of us, is that greed dominance financially for the acquisition of material gain, that's somehow a positive in his character, in his mindset. It's more as a stepping stone. Financial is a stepping stone towards the financial, thus the political, the societal, even psychological governance, dominance, in the directing of other people as to how they should live. His dominance is to subordinate the global population. This is at the heart of his psychological profile. He seeks to be number one in the world. He achieves that as a stepping stone by being number one financially in his sphere of influence. Now, as president, he views the presidency as a stepping stone towards financial and trade relation dominance. But don't be misled by that being his primary goal, financial and trade dominance. Dominance by the United States in those categories. The United States is Donald Trump in his mind. He is the United States in his mind. So it is not so much financial dominance. It's not so much trade dominance that is the end point for Donald Trump. It is the position of power that is the final goal of Donald Trump. He seeks to personally, as one man, to dominate the global population. The subsets, the stepping stones, are trade, finance, wealth, power through those tools, and that's all they are. They are stepping stone tools, tools towards global dominance by Donald Trump. He views all other people as subordinate to himself. Therefore, we're in a situation in terms of Israel and Iran, as I just want to recap, there will be no war because that distracts, that takes away from his goal to achieve dominance over the world economically. So I want to speak about the economic process. Again, separating this from Donald himself, he doesn't care about wealth, money, material acquisition for himself. Recently, he has been talking about the United States through two executive orders that I covered last night in our live stream. He wants to position the U.S. as the dominant player in the world of digital assets, cryptocurrencies, stable coins, central bank digital currencies, and the blockchain system. He is establishing a sovereign wealth fund for the United States. This is primarily composed of two components, two items. The sovereign wealth fund for the United States is being built by stable coins, a digital asset. There's a second digital asset that I'll get to in just a second. The first digital asset are stable coins. These are digital cryptocurrencies backed by physical assets like gold, okay? Stable coins. The second within that category of digital cryptocurrency are the other cryptocurrencies that are not backed by a physical asset. They are different than stable coins. This is the world of Bitcoin and the like. These are fiat cryptocurrencies. Those two together as digital currencies lead to the second digital asset in the building of the sovereign wealth fund of the United States. That is the category of tokens, tokenization. Donald Trump has spoken openly in the discussion of building a sovereign wealth fund to the digitizing, the tokenization of federal assets. He spoke of it in terms of converting digital assets to something that can be sold. Well, this is digital trade. This is the tokenization of federal assets. Real estate, of course, natural resources like minerals, gas and oil, and so forth. Federal assets being tokenized and the tokens being sold in the open digital marketplace, adding to the sovereign wealth fund for the United States. So, two executive orders regarding the digital assets of the United States involving stable coins, and a second executive order regarding Bitcoin. Over $225 billion in Bitcoins and the planned acquisition in the purchase of more Bitcoin, all of which goes into the sovereign wealth fund. Then also to add to that, the tokenization of federal assets to be added into the sovereign wealth fund. The sovereign wealth fund is to be used by Donald Trump. Again, the picture here is this is all about Donald Trump. The United States only serves the purposes and desires of Donald Trump. This is not a left-right paradigm statement. This is an analysis of the man, okay? The sovereign wealth fund takes us to BRICS. Again, I've outlined this for several years, since 2020, in fact, that the United States has already developed what has been called in the media the central bank digital currency. The Federal Reserve has already established not a CBDC in the sense of a fiat, as in like Bitcoin cryptocurrencies, but a stable coin, a sovereign central bank digital currency, a stable coin. It is backed by gold, backed by oil, backed by federal assets. This has been tested for over 2 years for its ability to settle cross-border trade transactions, tested with the Bank for International Settlements. The Bank for International Settlements is the primary financial clearinghouse today for cross-border trade, using the US dollar as the reserve currency in the settlement of cross-border trade through the Bank for International Settlements, the BIS. The BIS continues within the BRICS organization. This is part of the structure for the digital trade within BRICS. Each of the members and prospective members of BRICS have already established their own central bank digital currency, which, to be more specific, are stable coins, sovereign stable coins backed by gold and a basket of currencies within each sovereign nation and their own sovereign stable coin, all of which work with the Bank for International Settlements for the settlement of cross-border trade. All of this has been tested. All of this is in place, including the United States stable coin. It is about to be announced by Donald Trump the existence of our own stable coin, and that stable coin having been tested with the BIS, along with the member nations and prospective member nations of BRICS, all of their stable coin CBDCs having been tested with the BIS. Therefore, Donald Trump is about to not only make it known that we have a stable coin, that it's been tested with the BIS, but that the United States is in fact a de facto member of BRICS, not a prospective member, but an actual member. Again, this is behind the scenes. This has been tested for over 2 years. It will be announced by Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin simultaneously together that in fact what Donald Trump is saying is true, that the U.S. has a stable coin, that Russia has their stable coin, as do the other members, and that yes, the United States is a full member of BRICS, acknowledged by Putin. This will be coming. Therefore, there will also be a concurrent announcement of a permanent peace treaty agreed upon and soon to be ratified by the U.S. Senate and ratified by the Russian equivalent, a peace treaty with regards to Ukraine. Because Donald Trump recognizes that there can be no peace without trade, a trade agreement, without BRICS. Inversely, there can be no membership in BRICS by the United States so long as the United States is engaged in a war, which it is, by way of Ukraine. One of the principal foundational requirements for membership in BRICS is that a prospective member nation cannot be actively engaged in warfare with any country. They must be at peace. Therefore, there will be a peace treaty announced by Putin and Trump, meaning that the U.S. has cut off all support to Ukraine, which again results in the cessation of hostilities between Ukraine and Russia, because the United States has, in support of Ukraine, of course, the United States has been at war with Russia, which would negate their membership in BRICS. All of this will be announced concurrently. All of this serves to Donald Trump's overt desire to dominate the world. He will get there by the stepping stone, another tool, which is BRICS. He is taking the United States into BRICS because it serves the interests of Donald Trump. Again, his psychological profile consists of his overt drive to dominate everyone and everything. BRICS will satisfy that for him. BRICS serves as his platform to dominate the world. Now, to back that up, his recent statements regarding sovereign wealth fund, Bitcoin, his executive order to increase the holdings of Bitcoin, the endorsement of Bitcoin for the first time by the United States government, by the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency endorsing Bitcoin. But remember, Bitcoin is not a stable coin. It's a fiat cryptocurrency. And this is why there will be the announcement of the stable coin backed by gold by the United States and the revaluation. Donald Trump has said that the gold that the U.S. is holding, not just in Fort Knox, but the gold in total, having been valued back in 1949 at $44 and change, he's going to revalue it at least to the market spot price of just under $3,000 a troy ounce to perhaps, he said, I may raise it to $5,000. Now that discussion of gold, the price of gold, of course, relates to the value of the dollar. In that same proclamation by Donald Trump, he was also reiterating and reinforcing that the dollar is not going anywhere. That the de-dollarization movement, which has been spoken about and I have spoken about, the de-dollarization movement by the members of BRICS will come to a complete halt. Because Donald Trump, through the stablecoin process, through the acquisition of Bitcoin, through the increase in the deposits into the sovereign wealth fund, in the tokenization of federal assets, in the invitation to citizenship by way of selling gold cards at 5 million apiece, which apparently they have sold upwards or in excess of 1,000 gold cards at 5 million apiece to individuals seeking citizenship in the United States. He's also been talking about nations paying a membership fee to gain access to the U.S. domestic market by foreign nations. A membership fee, all of which goes into the sovereign wealth fund. The purpose of the sovereign wealth fund, as Donald Trump has stated, is to increase the value of the U.S. dollar, to maintain the dominance of the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency for the world. Now, this takes us back to stablecoin, a central bank digital currency for the United States, interfacing with the Bank for International Settlements for BRICS. This means that the paper currency of the U.S. dollar, the printed currency, will be replaced by the digital dollar, which is a stable coin. This is where it is headed. This is why all the members of and prospective members of BRICS have their own stable coin, CBDC, as does the United States. And going forward, very soon, all global trade will be conducted with the U.S. dollar in the form of the U.S. dollar denominated stablecoin. This results in the dominance of the United States as a country, the dominance of the dollar in the form of stablecoin, and therefore the dominance of Donald Trump by way of membership in BRICS, Donald Trump dominating BRICS. This is where it's headed. All of what I have delivered to you today has been spoken by Donald Trump. I'm reporting his own words, his own statements, his own goals, his own desires. I'm simply placing them all out on the table for all of you to see in one sitting, in one consideration of his statements. Now, going all the way back to my first statement, that Donald Trump is oftentimes, he says things in the manner of a statement of bluster, or a statement delivered in the manner of a bluster approach, a style, in order to get people to think, to generate an emotional reaction on the part of the receiver of his bluster. He has demonstrated this when we hear him talk about Gaza. He doesn't speak much about the humanitarian crisis. He speaks more about taking the land, taking Gaza, developing it into luxury homes and resorts and casinos. That's an example of his bluster, an example of how he gets an audience to react emotionally. And then he steps back away from his statement and doesn't speak about it. He observes who's on one side, who's on the other, the emotional reactions, the words and statements that come out of the opposing parties. Because he's sizing people up. He's sizing up the parties. He's sizing up the groups. Why? Because then he knows how to address them uniquely and individually, as individuals and as groups, how to manipulate them. You see, the emotions reveal the weaknesses, and therefore then he appeals to those points of weakness in what he views as an opponent. This can be someone who's in favor of his goals or someone who's in opposition. Either group together represent an opposition group to Donald Trump, because people change their minds. So both those in favor of his statement and those in opposition, open opposition, he views as opponents that he can then manipulate by appealing to their emotions. Deeper meaning to appealing to emotions are, what are the buttons that he can push in their psyche? These are psychological operations composed and implemented by Donald Trump, in the mind of Donald Trump. He appeals to people psychologically through their emotions, through their weak points, in his seeking to dominate individuals and groups, groups that are both in support and in opposition to his dominance. So I pay close attention to what Donald Trump says, over and above talking about, you know, this congressperson or this judge and so forth and so on. No, I'm looking at when he talks about his goals, I listen very carefully, because it reveals not only the goals, but it reveals the man. It reveals the thinking of the man. It reveals his psychological makeup. And through understanding his psychological makeup, which is predominantly his desire to dominate, then you understand the type of psychological tools that he applies in opposition, in seeking dominance. You understand and therefore are able to recognize the variety of psychological operations that he puts into play, into motion. And when you understand that these are psychological operations, you understand that you are subject to those psychological tools and mechanisms. This gains you the objectivity to think independently, to think critically on your own. That objectivity, independence, and criticality of thought is lost on the majority of people. And why I encourage this, both here through Pulse and through our live stream presentation. So I want to mention that in closing. If you want to learn more, we have a learning environment that we have established at anthonypatch.com with the stated goal on my homepage to encourage objectivity, to encourage independent thinking, to encourage critical thinking. So 3 nights a week, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday of each week, for 2 hours, beginning at 7 o'clock Eastern time, we present an hour and a half to 2 hours of educational information. It's a learning environment. Okay? We don't have sensational headlines. We don't have hysteria. We don't allow trolls. We stay on point. We have our own private chat room on Band, B-A-N-D. And when you subscribe through anthonypatch.com, you have access to the live streams and to our chat room, Band, our learning environment. You also have access to over 900 live streams in the archives. Also in the archives, you have access to all of our printed and electronically published monthly magazine that goes by the title of Entangled. This is from Quantum Entanglement, our monthly magazine, Entangled. And the archives dating back to the founding of the monthly publication that began in June of 2017. You have access to all of those. And to our chat room on Band. And to each of our live streams, live, and also the recorded, archived version of our live streams. So quite a bit of information is available there. I invite you to join us to participate in this educational process. We cover science, which includes quantum mechanics, quantum computing, artificial intelligence, particle physics, CERN. We go into biology, in particular vaccines, genetic modification, technologies that are delivered into the body, such as quantum dots, graphene oxide, ferritin oxide, luciferase, PLA proteins from snake venom, all of which are in the so-called vaccines. And we're specific, can't speak about it here on YouTube, but like this topic, there are many topics that we expand upon in the live streams that I'm not at liberty to share in a public venue. We have been censored. We have been removed from platforms because of the things that we freely, in our private live streams, are able to speak about. That's why there's a membership requirement, because we have a private platform that we need to pay for. You don't find us out there on all of the social media and all the other broadcast platforms plastered all over, because that is subject to being censored and subject to trolls. Something over the years, since 2018, we've been subjected to, and we have been able to remove ourselves from that interference in our learning environment. So, in conclusion, Donald Trump is dominated by his desire to dominate, both on an interpersonal level, one-to-one, and on a global level. He seeks to dominate, and to dominate people. more than financial, more than political, more than material dominance. He seeks to dominate people in all manner, in all manifestations. He seeks to dominate the global population. God bless you all.